Meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. What are some things that you are looking forward to? A nice place to visit, a new job, a new hobby, or an interest that you are embarking on? A couple years ago, there was a movie entitled The Bucket List. You know a movie has hit a hot spot when that phrase bucket list becomes a common phrase without people even mentioning the movie. The bucket list is a number of things that you want to do before you leave this world. It's a way of saying, here is my wish list, the things I really want to accomplish before I die. On July 22nd, 2018, Robert Williamson went skydiving to commemorate his 100th birthday. That feat, while undeniably daring, in fact marked Williams' second time skydiving. He did it the year before on his 99th birthday. George H.W. Bush celebrated a number of his birthdays by skydiving, including his 75th birthday, his 80th birthday, his 85th birthday, and his last one was on his 90th birthday. Well, they're not exactly the things I have on my bucket list. I have more safe goals. I want to take a trip to Ireland, Scotland, and the UK and visit some castles and, you know, hike some hills. So what's on your bucket list? What are you looking forward to doing and accomplishing? In Hebrews 6, the author speaks about some length, the theme of hope and looking forward. This morning I have 2 points about looking to our faithful God. My first point is the foundation of our hope. The foundation for our hope is the faithfulness of God, the very character and his trustworthiness. Since God makes promises and he is totally trustworthy, we can have full assurance and certainty that he will always keep his promises. Hebrews 6, 17 and 18 say this, in the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. The author speaks of two unchangeable things, God's promise and God's oath. What the writer is doing in this passage is that after delivering a true and stern warning last week about the peril of permanently turning your back on God, he wants to encourage us to trust in God who is faithful to every one of his promises. God does not change. His character does not change. His truth does not change. His purposes do not change. And God's Son does not change. Later in Hebrews 13:8, the author says this, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the basis of having a firm and sure hope in God who can be trusted. In fact, when we speak of having hope in God, the word hope takes on a different meaning because we're talking about God. The things that we hope in, such as things we would really like to see happen but are not certain. Well, there's an iffiness behind that. I'll give you 2 examples. For a while, we've wanted to see those steps repaired. We hope somebody can actually deliver us a quote. We hope so. There's an iffiness there. Because just because somebody promises a quote doesn't mean they'll give us a quote. 2nd illustration. I would have hoped we had good weather today. Yeah, well, you know what happened on that one. The things that we hope for, because we can't guarantee they'll happen, there's a conditionality behind it. We hope so. except when we're talking about our hope in God. When it comes to speaking about our hope in God and what He promises, our hope should not be iffy or uncertain. We can trust that God fully and implicitly, because He is perfectly trustworthy and always keeps His promises. So our hope in Him ought to be firm. Secondly, I want to speak about the fruits of hope. What I mean under this point is that there are fruits which flow from and should result from our hope in God. In Hebrews 6:10, the writer speaks about the people he's addressing, ministering to, they have ministered to the saints, and they continue to minister to the saints. From that hope flows love for one another. That hope gives us motivation to share sacrificially with one another. C.S. Lewis, making the point in his book, Mere Christianity, has a whole chapter on hope, this virtue that Christians are to show. And Lewis gives the example of hope being the springboard for 18th and 19th century evangelicals to campaign against the slave trade. And it happened. That was a result of their hope. From their hope flowed love and concern, and really, so what we would call today social justice issues. We want all people to be treated equally and fairly. And that hope motivated them for justice and love for others. From hope also flows our continuing and firm trust and obedience to God. Hebrews 6:19 says this, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil." Our hope in God ought to be sure and steadfast because of His character. There is no good reason, therefore, to have a flimsy hope in God, as if God may or may not keep His promise. God isn't just like us. While we break our promises because we have neither the will nor the ability to keep them in all instances, that does not mean that God is just like us. Our biggest mistake and error in judgment is making a promise that we do not have the ability to keep. Numbers 23:19 says this about God and His truthfulness. God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said and will He not do it? Or has He spoken and will He not make it good? The writer of Hebrews is challenging us as the people of God. Come on, people of God. Believe God. Trust in Him as you ought to. He is faithful. Abraham is given as an example in this passage of one who has patient faith and endurance. In Genesis 13, God promised childless Abram that he would be blessed with many descendants, as numerous as the stars in the sky, and that would start with a promised son. He was promised that when he was 75 years old. God delivered him a son through Sarah, Isaac, 25 years later. In the course of those 25 years between the first promise and the fulfillment, no doubt Abraham could have wondered out loud, God, You promised me a son. Is this ever going to happen? The story shows that Abraham's faith consisted in patience and endurance. Persevering, he received what God had promised. Later still, God commanded Abraham to sacrifice that promised son, Isaac, on Mount Moriah, and Abraham stood ready to obey. As the knife was raised to slay the child of promise, God intervened and provided a ram instead. Again, Abraham proved his obedience by his faith. In staying his hand, God reaffirmed the promise by swearing an oath which the author quotes in Hebrews 6, 13 and 14. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. The Apostle Paul also commends Abraham's faith in God who promised him a son. Romans 4, 17 through 21 says this, As it is written, A father of many nations have I made you, in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Abraham's hope and assurance was not placed in himself or in Sarah. They were both past, well past the age of having a son. Yet they both trusted in God who could bring life out of death and could bring about the conception and birth of this son. One of the other fruits of hope is perseverance and our continuing obedience to him. Hebrews 6:12 says that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So let's notice some key words in this passage which point to our continuing duty to trust and obey God. The word diligence, the phrase full assurance of hope until the end. We're not to be sluggish, but those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. Abraham, though a sinner, was also one who trusted in God and his faithfulness and who continued to work out his hope in God, being diligent to do what God had called him to do. And speaking of waiting, Abraham waited 25 years for Isaac. We've been waiting 2,000 years for the coming of Jesus. Do we really believe it? I do, and I know you do, but we continue to have that same kind of patience and endurance to trust that God will bring about the end of human history as he wraps up it all up in the coming of the new heavens and the new earth and resurrection life. That is our hope. Abraham moved his family when God told him to. He was willing even to sacrifice his son because he trusted that God could raise him from the dead, even later as God raised his own son from the dead. Abraham, through faith and patience, inherited what God had promised him, a land, a promised son, and the ultimate promise that God would be Lord of his people and we shall be his people. Galatians 3:29, the Apostle Paul tells us, And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. Looking to our faithful God means we trust in God's faithfulness and let this hope, this blessed hope, shape how we live right now. For this life is a dress rehearsal for life with God in the resurrection and the life of the world to come. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we pray to you that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we might grow stronger in our faith in you. Endue our souls with patience, that we might be still and know with assurance that you are God. This we ask through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.